you've heard it all? You haven't. Peace Love Podcast brings you more OMG, wait, what moments? My life has been so dramatic and traumatic. I take a humorous look at it, and each week we will discuss with fun and laughter, full out mental health. I go there. I talk about being flawed and fabulous. So guys, let's get fabulous. Hey everybody, welcome to Peace Love Podcast. We are on episode 31 of season 2, and I'm calling it How to Enjoy Your Thanksgiving Day When Wanting Relatives to Go Away. I know, it's that time of year where a lot of people, and you are so blessed if you have that family that you can't wait to see each other, and cousins and aunts and uncles, or your Friendsgiving, the people who are like family, and you start these new traditions. And then there's other people, I would put myself in one of those groups, that dread the holidays at times. I've changed tradition so I don't dread the holidays. But for a lot of people, it brings up childhood memories, some not so good, and then triggers come in. So I am going to just talk about how to handle the family members that can be toxic. The toxicity is not good for you, but there are ways to cope, because your mental health is the most important. And let me tell you something. I mean, when I say I hate Thanksgiving, I have hated Thanksgiving because, now if you read my book, it's in chapter 2, but I talk about in 1987, I was left with nowhere to live in May, right when I had turned 17. So after 6 months of knocking on doors and staying from this couch to that couch and couch hopping, my grandfather in early November let me live with him. Like, gee, thanks. So his apartment was a garden apartment, and right behind his living room was like the dumpster. And he was so annoyed that I had to be there, my being at 17 years old, he lost his shit and took all my belongings and put them in the dumpster. You know, sometimes we're like, oh, I feel like I'm in the dumpster. No, physically in the dumpster. Now, mind you, 6 months before that, all my belongings were in my car when my mother and her crackhead boyfriend, she on crack as well, drove off and left me standing on I-95 and Hollywood Boulevard with nobody to call to Uber or text. It was payphones, and it was crazy. So Thanksgiving 1987 really sucked. So what was I going to do? So my grandfather's throwing my clothes out. I'm 17. I'm probably living in this state of trauma anyway. And I call my aunt, who would not let me live with her, but she did give me her credit card and eventually a car. So I called her up. It was my mother's sister. And I was like, Pop's going crazy. He's throwing my clothes in the dumpster. Please help me. So she drives up. When I say up, she went from North Miami to North Miami Beach. If you're from Miami and you're listening, from the Jockey Club to Sky Lake. And maybe 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes. And she walked in and looked at me. And with this nasty voice, and I quote the tone perfectly, she said, thank you for ruining my Thanksgiving. Now, it was the day before, and she was setting her table. She was trying to set her table in peace, but I called her and ruined it because my grandfather, his other daughter, was throwing my clothes away. How friggin' nervy of me to ruin this woman's Thanksgiving by my presence needing her help. Shame on me. And yes, I'm rolling my eyes as I say that. That in my book is the character of Fancy Schmancy Nancy. Speaking of my book, let me just give a quick shout out because I'm pinching myself right now. I don't believe it. My book is in the National Institute of Health, NIH, press conference, COVID, everything. Not only is it in the NIH bookstore, but it's presented in the window next to the Dr. Fauci bobblehead. So just like we always say, laughter is universal, music is universal, there's no discrimination with that, so is mental health. And someone read my story and they were like, you're a friggin' survivor. So right next to these really awesome books, you see True to Myself, Peace, Love, Marnie, which is absolutely astounding considering I just one day told my story so people didn't feel alone. And now my book is in NIH. And also I've written 3, about to be 4 articles for Newsweek. So now I'm a featured writer for some Newsweek articles. So my dream is just absolutely coming true, guys. So just, if I could do it, y'all can do it. I started to say you and I switched it to y'all. Okay, but in any event, so now the holidays, you're probably thinking, oh, now I have to see Mean Drunk Jerry, or you have to see Nasty Cousin Lisa. Like, you just don't know what's going to be there. I mean, let me rephrase that. You know what's going to be there, but don't psych yourself up that it's going to be bad. So we need to put now a positive spin on it. If something's going to destroy or interrupt your mental health, whatever it is, if there's someone there that really makes you physically ill around them and they are just constantly nasty and you're fed up, you are done, don't do anything you don't have to do. So whether your whole family goes and you choose to not go, it is more important that you stay happy than saying, oh, I better go so Aunt Sally's not mad at me. But you know what? You're going to be mad at yourself going somewhere you didn't want to go. So if anybody is out there listening, which I hope there's so many people listening, I'm not saying just say to your family, screw it, I'm not going. But if you really feel uncomfortable and you know every time you leave a situation, it leaves you sick, don't do it. But if you are going to go, here are some ways that we can possibly, because like I'm going to all your dinners, some ways that you can turn that toxic positivity into that silver lining on that toxic cloud. One, know your customers. If you know every time you go out or you see Drunk Jerry, he's going to bring up politics or he's going to go on a rant about somebody, you already know that about him. So rather than leave and say, did you see the way he spoke to me? You already know it. So go there prepared, like, yeah, blah, blah, I know, here he goes. Just choreographed right on time, you know. So when you know things, I've also noticed, I've just said, you know, again, I'm very aware of now every time I speak. I've been doing so much talking that I have really tried to improve my listening and talking skills. So if you know that's going to happen, then just that way be prepared. Already know, okay, have your armor up. He's going to be a dick or something's going to happen. Another thing you could do possibly is just sit opposite ends of tables, opposite end of everything. Sit at the kids' table if you have to. Do everything you can. Not be rude. I'm not just telling you just look at someone and say, oh, I'm not sitting next to you. But very discreetly, very nonchalantly, just do your own thing and stay in your own world. If somebody does continue, like if your mother or somebody says, when are you getting married? When are you having kids? When are you going to engage? When are you going to get engaged? And the constant, you know, the nagging Nellies, and just have the communication and just say, I'm very uncomfortable with all of these questions. Please don't do that. If you continue to talk to me like this, I'm going to walk away. So there's nothing wrong with having boundaries. They do not make you a bitch at all. In fact, it's the healthiest thing you could do. Some episodes back, I did boundaries don't make you a bitch, because they don't. But what they're doing is making you a very happy person, because you will be bitter and you want to be better. Trust me. Laughter. Okay, I talk about finding humor with everything. Well, let me go back to one thing. One thing you need to do is put on the table right away, no politics. Because liberal Lucy and political Peter are not going to see eye to eye, and it's already caused conflicts, and maybe your first time coming back together since a few years, since COVID, whatever it may be, out of the question. Religion and politics should never be talked about. Why we're even talking about it in this world, I don't know, but those are 2 things you don't talk about it. So that, full disclosure, everybody, guests, family, no politics, no religion. That's it. That is over. No more patients. Hospital closed. Okay. So that way, if you communicate how on, you won't have to say, here she goes again, and then say under their breath, what'd you say? And just try, I'm trying to give you little tips to alleviate any kind of arguments. Another thing, and it's so hard, and I make it so effortless, but it has been 52 years, literally, since birth, I have been learning this and reading people and how to I guess this is the first time really I've had self-love and acceptance, which is really sad after 52 years. But my reaction caused the pain, the heartache. I allowed myself to engage when I was talking to somebody who was like talking to the lamp or talking to the table. So as much as we want to retaliate, it's like a knee-jerk reaction. If somebody says something to us, we want to immediately defend ourselves. But you know what? It's not worth it. If you know that crazy cousin Karen is always going to just, oh gosh, I love my analogies because I'm really thinking of people, crazy cousin Karen. Well, I do have a lot of crazy relatives that they all, it's crazy though, my relatives were all glamorous and all had nervous breakdowns. They owned it. They're like this overdramatic black and white film I come from. It's really weird. But, you know, when you already accept the people for who they are, you could laugh at it and put full disclosures out. We're not going to talk about this. And then make a game out of it. This is what I started to do when I would talk to certain people. You know, if you say day, they are going to say night. If you say black, they're going to say white. They're just the most contrary people. You have contrary Ken, because he could say to you, you know what, it's not six bagels, but you know what, it's a half a dozen and another. Like, no matter what, you could cure cancer and it's never going to be good enough. There's Hershey again. Okay, I'll be right back, everybody. So that's my dog Hershey. Now, like me, Hershey is rare, unique, and kind of very, very rare. Like, you don't see any of him. Hershey, my dog, is 10 months, almost 11 months. He's 70 pounds, and he's a floodle. And you're probably like, what? What's a floodle? Are you from Florida? What's a floodle? So a floodle, his dad is a flat-coated retriever, not your typical golden retriever, but flat-coated, and his mom was a black poodle. So Hershey is, we thought he was going to be a golden doodle, but not golden. But he's just a floodle. So he is the most delicious, yummiest thing ever. I am madly in love with this animal. I mean, he's just 70 pounds of love. But there's not much of the, I guess, doodle in him. He has mostly, he has no oodle in him other than like his mom being a poodle. So he's mostly just, I don't know. He's a floodle. He's adorable and he barks a lot. So if you hear him again, I apologize. So you got to find laughter with everything. I mean, every time you know somebody says a question about your hair or when you're getting married, do a shot, eat more stuffing, do something to find humor. Because if you already expect it, I know I'm going to go back to the reacting, but this just came on the top of my head. It's my ADHD. It's one of the symptoms. I go all over the place. Full disclosure, I usually write down my podcast as I'm going with notes and I can't find my pen. So I'm doing this completely improvised. So this is really cool. This is challenging for me, I guess. Anyway, the laughter and not reacting. It's funny because when people that are negative, misery loves company. So if they're already in a bad mood for God, whatever reasons, let's bring everybody else down. It's like the Debbie Downer. That's like political Pete. He was the person contrary Ken. I'm sorry. Because even if you say, oh my goodness, I just won tickets to Disney World. Well, that's a good thing because it's so expensive. You know, like everything you say, they have to put the pop in your balloon and it just fizzles out. So there are certain people that you know are going to be negative. Don't share good news with them because they're never going to be happy for you. And if you're thinking to yourself, that's right. So you can't leave your holiday dinner thinking, oh, they were so rude to me, because you know they are. But find humor in it. Every time this person nags someone, every time they get up to go to the bathroom to use their phone, who are they texting? Ha ha. Rather than, that's so rude. We all know it's rude to use the phones at the table. Communicate ahead of time, guys. Can we just, while we're eating, not have any cell phones? If you find it to be disrespectful, people are not mind readers. So they're not going to assume that it bothers you. So just like when you have your full disclosure, no politics, no religion, no cell phones at the table. Just do, honestly, what is the best thing for you? I'm going to say find humor the best you can. I know sometimes you're like, Marnie, if you were in front of me, it's excruciating. My mother-in-law is horrible. She is. My mother-in-law reminds me of Lady Elaine from Mr. Rogers. Do you remember her? In fact, I write about this in my book. There was one night that my ex-mother-in-law, we were on a cruise, and she found me. I was sitting on my balcony, and she walked halfway across the boat to scream. This was one of the most terrorizing nights of my life, seriously. Screaming on the top of her friggin' lungs. I'm surprised they didn't hear us back in Miami, how much she hated me. And she went on for a good 5 minutes and screaming, and her face got beet red, and she had that short hair, and I just kept thinking of Lady Elaine the whole time, waiting for her to leave to take my Xanax. So it was a friggin' nightmare. But after that, it was very hard being in the same room with her. It really was. So if you guys have situations that are not that extreme, and you just have like an annoying mother-in-law, and you guys just have different personalities or whoever it may be, if you go there already knowing it, but you love the rest of your family, then you have to accept what it is. You can't go there thinking they'll change for this holiday, because that's never going to happen. But if it's too upsetting for you, I did everything when I was married to please my husband, nothing to please myself. I would say I don't really feel comfortable going there. For me, you have to do it for me. But I wasn't doing anything for me. So I would end up going. I'd be miserable. I would get into an argument when we left. Why'd you have to, I don't know. Oh, I got in trouble once. When I say trouble, how pathetic is that? We were at a party, and we were at that mean girl Liz's house, the one that asked me what the color of my sky was. It was her dad's 80th birthday. And somebody that did a really shady business thing to my husband was there. So I would never be rude and say anything. So I just kind of stared at them with like this really evil, dirty look that it's scary. My look, if looks could kill, I go for the jugular. It scares me, seriously. I guess it's all that trauma that comes through the eyes. And I just stared at this guy with such hatred. And I was told never to come back to the house. I was like, for what? And they're like, because you stared at our friend wrongly. Like, okay. So I would never go back to that house again for a party, because every time I'm around those people, they do nothing but insult me. So if I were still married, I would be protecting my peace and never go back there again. But I'm going to say that is probably one of the reasons why, wasn't the reason I got divorced, but it became very argumentative. Why didn't you protect me? And I should never have been in that situation to start with. So in any event, when you do go for Thanksgiving, go in the kitchen. Keep yourself occupied. Watch the parade. Watch football. Even if you don't know football, just sit there and keep cheering with everybody else. Anything to avoid being around the person that or people you don't want to be around. Because most of the time, it's just one or two bad apples, and the rest are red, shiny, happy cousins, aunts, uncles, friends, whatever it is that you have. And on a side note, I saw this. If you want to take your leftovers to go, bring a muffin tin and put a scoop of like stuffing, a scoop of cranberry sauce, a scoop of potatoes. I mean, how cool is that? And also, most of us too, we want to make the most perfect Norman Rockwell painting perfect dinner. But there's no such thing as perfection. You want to make sure it looks good because last year your sister did it this way. No, 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 no. You do whatever you can handle. Don't be a martyr. Don't stress yourself out. You want to enjoy yourself. Don't try to prove anything to anyone. Do the best you can. If all you can do is the turkey, just say, look, all I can do is the turkey. You don't have to impress anyone. Nobody is going to like you any more or any less how you prepare your Thanksgiving. If you don't want to host it, it's too much for you. Don't say, well, fine, I guess I will. No, you don't have to. There is nothing you have to do that is going to pop your happiness and peace bubble. Please, I have lived, you don't understand, and I'm almost pleading with you guys. This is how it's so from my heart. I have spent my entire 52 years on this earth, 52 and a half years, trying to please everybody, pleasing everybody and going places I didn't want to go and associating with people I didn't want to associate with because I didn't want anyone mad at me. But you know what? It's more important that I am not mad at myself, because all that happened was I had resentment. I had resentment, 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 and it really friggin' sucked. So it's so weird because you know, holidays, it took me a lot of years to finally enjoy Thanksgiving because of the year my clothes were thrown out and my being bothered my aunt and I ruined it and I couldn't set her table the way she wanted to. So bad Marnie. So Thanksgiving was always so sullen for me. And then I had my children. I was like, you know what? We're going to change up traditions. We are going to do our own Thanksgiving. I am going to go and get this fresh turkey and we're all going to make these dishes together. And since my daughter was a little girl, we've been making the same things every year. The macaroni the same, the macaroni and cheese over the rainbow, the mashed potatoes. We do all of these new dessert recipes. So I created my own tradition. I was sick of having a pity party for myself on Thanksgiving. I wanted to, you know, I love the food. Right now I'm just swimming in gravy. And I figured with children, let me give them a happy Thanksgiving tradition, because here's the thing, we got to heal ourselves so we don't pass things on to our children. And I wanted my kids to have the traditions I never had. But then it started to get real depressing staying in Florida for Thanksgiving. And I kind of started a new tradition that we go out of town. And it started with like a little hotel, and then it was New York City. And then it was like, now I just make it a whole big whatever. So we're good. I like the change of seasons. I think just seeing palm trees at Thanksgiving didn't give me that cozy fall fireplace, happy Thanksgiving, you know, Merry Christmas, happy holidays feel. So being up in New York for the holidays, I think will be really cool. My daughter, I'm giving a shout out to her because I am so proud of her. She was hired to work at a PR firm in New York, and she graduated with cum laude honors from University of Florida in PR, and her dream is coming true. So I am so excited for her to start her journey. And my journey, it's really remarkable. I mean, the fact that I am writing my opinion for Newsweek, I mean, come on. People used to look at me and be like, you know, what are you on? What's wrong with you? You are so ditzy. I mean, to my face, yes. My whole life, I thought it was a friggin' ditz, and realizing I just didn't know how to properly articulate myself. For me, medication saves my life. Holidays also could be so depressing for people, but I don't want to talk about that on this episode. I want to talk about how to uplift yourself. And, you know, I think we're all so sick and tired of being miserable. We're all sick and tired of the doom and the gloom, and we just want just a little bit of love, laughter, and light. So if you are going to be somewhere, don't let that one yucky person ruin it for the rest of your time. Don't take anything personally, because you know whatever someone's going through, naggy Aunt Nellie, she's nagging you because she's not happy. So let me just take out my nagginess on whomever. So don't be in the line of fire for that. Keep yourselves busy and laugh. Put on a funny movie. Make a new tradition. Like I said, every time they mention something, do a shot, take a drink, eat more stuffing, fun games, and you know the people that are going to be there. So I think setting those boundaries too and saying, look, before we come in, we are having no talks of this, no talks of that, none of that crazy Karen, none of that, you know, what was I looking at? I forgot the word. Contrary Ken. Ken, you do your thing, but let's tone it down a little bit. Make a joke out of yourselves. Also, it's like, we know you love to talk about your politics, Pete, but not tonight. And if you can just be as open and communicate as, just communicate enough that everybody understands and nobody takes anything personally. And that way you can all just have fun. Don't beat yourself up. We all eat a lot, but still practice self-care, which is so important to, like right now, I know some people are getting anxious, but you don't understand. I have to be with this person and that person. And now I'm going to I self-soothe by eating, and then I get depressed because I've eaten so much. Keep yourself on the routine you always do. Sleep is such a priority. I'm going to talk about those tips on how to really protect your mental health during the holidays. I mean, on a different extreme. But I just really wish everybody could just not not reacting, you don't understand. It saves your peace. It saves arguments. It saves drama. Just one ear and out the other. Be like a duck, like one ear, like, yeah, yeah. And just ignore it like it's air, like it's the table talking. Just as much as you can let it go, just let it go. And on that note, I am wishing everybody a happy fall, a happy November. There will be more episodes. I'm not going to say happy Thanksgiving yet. But if you don't listen to any episode after this, happy early Thanksgiving. Never let anybody burst your bubble. Never let anybody dull your sparkle. And remember to always, always stay true to yourself. Have a beautiful day. Sending so much love and so much peace. Oh, and if you or someone is suffering, depressed, something going on with you, doesn't have to be suicidal thoughts, 988, please reach out. They are there to listen. They are there to help. Less than 1% of people who called their first month of activating only needed a mobile, less than 1% needed a mobile crisis unit. Most people needed someone to talk to. If the holidays are starting to bring up feelings for you and triggers, please reach out to someone or just know 988 is there to help you. Alrighty, guys. Peace out and so much love.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Peace Love Podcast. I hope you learned a little bit, hope you laughed a little bit, and please, if you can, subscribe and leave a review, possibly how amazing this episode was. Remember, stay true to who you are and never, ever let anybody dull your sparkle.